Okay, I'm going to bring the Town of Discovery Bay Parks and Recreation Committee to order. Roll call, please.
Roll call has been taken, and let the record reflect that all members are present, with the exception of Chair Steele and Parks and Landscape Manager Miller.
All right. This time we'll open up for public comments. We don't have any public with us today, so we'll close that. And we'll move to approval of the draft minutes of October 18th meeting. I hear a motion to approve.
Motion to approve.
Second, all in favor?
Aye.
And with that, we'll go to discussion items, starting the screenplay workshop. Staff, please.
Okay, I'll turn this over to our Park and Rec Manager, Kaiser.
Hey, guys.
Chris could settle, I guess, for a sec.
Yep. Yeah, let the record reflect that Chairman Steele has joined us.
I'm not feeling that good, so I'm going to sit on this side. Okay.
All right, good deal.
You ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right, so if you recall, recently we approved a replay of podcasts. Have them do two segments. One is a homework assignment for us, and then a conference call with them. And then should that all go well, then there's a second piece where he comes out and does a workshop. So today specifically I wanted to talk about scheduling the workshop. There's two components to it. First, he would send us some homework that we would have to do. Assuming we wanted to look at the next time we meet, which is February 20th, I think, something like that?
February 21st.
21st. So assuming we would do that, he would be looking at sending us homework where we'd kind of work off a list, give us some instructions. He would send that to us February 12th. But for the workshop, it would be the 21st. We're looking at 3:30, which would be the same time that we would normally have this meeting. Does that work for the two of you?
Yes, I have it on my schedule.
Okay. Okay. And then, like I said, what he would do is provide us some homework, some instructions that would come on the 12th of February, so that would give us about 10 days to look it over, do whatever it is that he's got on his list that he'd like us to do. Then we'll reconvene for the workshop with the conference call, and then hopefully we can have Dina join us as well, and Brian here, and Mike, and everybody. So, and I guess we'll have to figure out the logistics of, can we do a conference call from this room, because we may have to schedule it over there.
Oh, for a video or something?
No. Not video, but for the speaker, yeah, whatever that is.
We'll have to see what we can set up, yeah.
Okay. That's where we need the IT guy, yeah.
We'll figure out how to make it work.
Okay. So, all in all, that works for you guys then?
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it'll be the 21st of February.
So it'll be the 21st of February. We'll do the workshop during what would normally be this meeting. It could be anywhere from an hour, hour and a half, 2 hours. It just depends on what kinds of questions we have after we've done it.
But it's a workshop format. Right?
But it's a workshop format. So he'll walk us through some stuff. We'll tell him what we've been working on and so on and so forth. So, sound good?
Yeah, I'm just wondering whether I don't have a clue as far as the homework assignment, but whether receiving it on the 12th provides adequate time for staff.
Yeah, he says usually it does. Yeah, usually it does. He says the format, you're just going to go through this list of stuff that he has, you'll be crossing things off and so on and so forth.
Okay.
So. And then kind of as a side note to it, the National Parks and Recreation Association magazine just came out, and they actually had, it's a very brief synopsis of the recreation field, and I thought I'd share this with you guys. It's actually going to be fairly similar to the stuff that we'll probably talk about in the workshop. So I thought I'd give it to you. It's probably like a 2-minute read. But the timing was perfect. Of course, the packet had already gone out. But I'll just share it with you guys. So next time you're sitting around and you got 5 minutes, just kind of go through it. It's kind of cool. And that's all I've got on the Green Play workshop. Any questions?
No, that's great. I look forward to it.
Yeah, it should be good.
You ready for the next item, Chris?
Yes, sir. Let's move on to staff and take it on to item two.
Go ahead.
Back to me.
Back to Mac.
This is the recreation show today.
Mm-hmm. It's the meeting.
So anyway, what I wanted to do, Mike and I talked about this. We have done several MOUs now, just kind of historical. We've done an MOU with Amanda Dove and the Delta Sun Times for the ad that she's running. We've got 6 more months on that. We did a similar kind of document for the Monarch Butterfly folks. We have drafts currently completed for the Scouts and for the Discovery Bay Lions when we do the summer jam. And then what you have before you is the draft for the river otters. We're bringing it to you today just to kind of go over a few things. River otters, as you know, on the swim team sometimes can be challenging, I guess might be the right word, in terms of how that working relationship is. The document, for the most part, the first part, which is the purpose, and then the second part, which is the general provisions, that's the same for any of those MOUs that we've done. The piece that's the most important piece is A and B, which talks about the responsibilities of the town and the responsibilities of that group that we happen to be working with. The intent for doing all this is to get away from kind of the good old boy handshake stuff and really just kind of putting what that relationship is in writing. So I've already shared this with the River Otters. I haven't heard back. They had a meeting with their parents group last week, and it's been quite quiet. And so Mike and I thought probably what we should do is at least share this with you, because there are a couple of items that I'm sure will be stumbling points, but it doesn't really change the relationship of what we're doing. It just basically puts it in writing. Lets them know that, you know, here's how we're going to work together with the pool moving forward. So the ones that I just wanted to bring to your attention, just so that you're aware of, under the item B, River Otter Parent Booster Club Responsibilities, number 7, number 8, number 9, that essentially is, it relates to when the parents are here, sometimes the kids are getting a little too crazy, they're running around, they're doing things maybe that should be better controlled. In the past, which is what I've documented in here, is I would say, hey, you guys need to clean it up a little bit, get the kids under control, get the parents involved. Because again, you've got a lot of kids coming and going. And so some of the conversations have gone back and forth in terms of, well, whose responsibility is it to watch the kids? And as far as the town goes, yeah, we are here, we're doing our job, but our job as town employees is not to supervise the kids. And unfortunately, in this day and age, I've often seen it. The parents are all sitting there playing on their cell phones, and the kids are running crazy all over the place. So what we did was we kind of said, hey, you guys need to take care of this stuff. You need to pick up your trash. And then basically just said, hey, we'll give you a warning. One verbal, one written, and if not, if we have to start bringing in staff to babysit the kids and just tell kids to leave the rocks alone, stop stuffing things in the toilets and those kinds of things. Again, not any different than any other town would have when they have a swim team. When I was with Brentwood, I had 3 swim teams out at the Heritage Pool. It happens. The intent's to get them under control. It's not to really have to go out and hire someone and start charging them. But, you know, it's there. So, again, the responsibility right. for that.
You don't have a policy right now for unsupervised children?
Not generally speaking. So what we're doing is we're just kind of putting something together saying, hey, you know, okay, we've been doing this in the past. It's no different. But now we're telling you if we have to keep doing this all the time, which I'm sure once I've warned them once or twice, it'll stop. It's no different than any other year. But should they continue that process, yeah. I've got to bring in another high school student to watch the kids for 4 hours because the parents are playing on their phones or whatever. Again, very typical in this day and age, but we wanted to put that in there. So I know there was some concern from the River Otters about that. Then the other one, if you look at item 11, that was referring to storage of equipment. Again, what we're looking at is the town trying to be consistent because you've got the Lions Club that's storing equipment in one of our storage units. And you have, is it the Foundations, I believe it is storing equipment in another. And we do charge them for that. Again, kind of that discussion, is it a town team? Is it a separate entity? There's a lot of gray in there. Generally speaking, if the club is purchasing equipment, and they're saying, well, it's our equipment, then that to me constitutes, hey, as long as you're here and you're swimming during the time frame, that's great, but for us to be storing the equipment the other 4, 5, 6 months of the year, if we're going to be consistent with the other groups, there probably needs to be a charge. Of course, the river otters will go either way on that one. You can see which way they're going. With the new shed, we've designated an area. We're willing to work with them in terms of, hey, putting this stuff in there. But if you're going to say that, no, we're buying it for a town team, then the town technically owns the equipment. Are we going to use it? No. It'll just stay in its appropriate spot all the time. But what we don't want to have happen is they go out and maybe purchase a motorhome, and they need a motorhome, and now I've got to store that, and I've got to store all this other stuff. You know, they've got one of those beanbag toss things that they built, and they want to store it. And I'm like, wait a minute, what's that got to do with a swim team? So there's been a little bit of back and forth on that one. So kind of the solution to it was, fine, if you're going to purchase equipment for the town swim team, then we should have a say over what it is. If it has to do with the swim team, fins, kickboards, those kinds of things, that's fine. But it's a town equipment, we'll store it. If it's your equipment, it can be stored there during your season, but afterwards you need to find another garage or another place to put it. So kind of put that clause in there. Again, I just wanted you to be aware of that, because some of these items when I went over it with the swim team were, they're not so sure. So. And then the last one relates to the outage we had with the plumbing last year. And there was some discussions about, well, you know, is it the town's responsibility to find another pool, pay for that pool, whatever it happens to cost, so on and so forth. So we kind of threw in there that, hey, we'll do what we can to find you another pool. If it's free, great. We'd be willing to prorate the daily charge if we take what you're giving us each year and prorate it all out, be doing that. But if it's only like $100 a day and you find a pool for $200 a day, well, okay, the town could probably reasonably say, hey, we'll reimburse you $100 a day, but we're not going to pay $200 a day. So, So those were kind of the ones that you kind of looked at their faces when I was having that discussion. I'm not sure which way that stuff is going to go, but Mike and I both felt it would be important that you two are aware of. This one's not as clean cut as the others, just because you've got a team that's been doing things for a number of years, and I wasn't here when the original handshake took place, so I don't know, other than this is probably the way it needs to work. So
I like to not be liable. I mean, we do our best to provide clean and safe facility, but sometimes it's offline for maintenance, and it's unscheduled, and it's just the way it is. And,
yeah.
We can't be dialing for dollars for another pool. I mean, we're glad to make some contacts, but it's like, you know, we're not going to call every pool in 100 miles.
Right, and try
it.
There's no obligation. We can't. And I know it was difficult for them to even understand, hey, I had kids that were out of work. I had swim lessons that were canceled. I lost money, too. So, you know, now you're saying, well, I've got to pay you all this. It's like, well, wait a minute. Here's what I can do. Here's what I can't do. So,
I've been good friends with the other swim teams.
And it is, this one's probably more difficult than most, because we can't get a swim team without them, and they can't get a swim team without us, because they need the pool. So
I don't have any problem with what you proposed, what staff has proposed here is fine. I have a couple of questions.
Sure.
On the, it says that the town shall collect as a facility use fee 20% of the total gross registration. That's fine. That's,
okay.
But for that, as we're going to do their counting and process 1099 forms, correct?
Correct. That's what we've been doing. Yes.
What about the printing and item 2, A2? We're going to put them in the
print
guide and processing of all the fees and updating and printing all participant registration. Is that printing of that packet, is that included in that 20%, or under A5, gross revenues collected, any additional direct costs incurred by the town? Well, I would say direct costs incurred by the town is the printing of the packets and stuff. Right.
Historically, the town has just taken the registration, put the packets together, and handed over the team. The 20% was just, that's what the town has historically taken to cover all of those costs. I'm sure going forward, we may want to revisit that.
Well, that's what I wanted to ask now.
Yeah.
Do we have a feel for what the costs of those things are and the admin side of collecting the registration? I don't know how complex that is.
Yeah, it's just running maybe 80, 90 packets of some registration materials on the photocopy machine.
So it's not thousands of dollars, it's maybe hundreds.
It's Monica's.
Maybe a day or two.
Monica, or 45 minutes over there, running some.
Well, then give me what's the 20%? What's that total now?
So the 20% was to cover the costs for the pool.
Correct.
And all of the other stuff related to
being happening. Right. What is that number?
So right now that number, let's see, if you assume they had $40,000 worth of revenue last year, so that's $8,000, $8,100 is what the team's collected.
Well,
or what we've collected.
20%,
that's our 20% that we take off.
$8,000,
yeah.
And we're involved with them for, is it 6 months?
Well, it's 68 days. So that's April, May, June, a little bit of July, depending on whether they make swim team championships or not.
So we're getting two grand a month, mm-hmm, to kind of run the thing.
Roughly, yes.
Yeah, I couldn't say whether that covers the expenses or not. So I would maybe.
Well, part of the discussion is, and this might answer your question, I kind of put these numbers together for you really well. Again, keep in mind I wasn't here when the original deal was laid out, but the direction that I understand that the board wants to go is at some point move them completely on their own to renting the pool. So if you did that, assuming that our pool is right now $120 an hour and it's a 2 hour minimum, and you figure they swim anywhere from 3 to 4.5 hours a day, it could be anywhere from $360 to $540 per day. And if you assume a normal, say, $68 season, you're looking at $24,500 to $36,700 is what the fee would be if the River Otters were renting the pool as a normal rental.
How does that relate to other swim programs that you're involved with at Brentwood? How'd that?
It's been a while. I would have to actually probably do a little research for you, but the 120 is probably not too far off if you were to figure complete cost, chemicals, heating, and everything for the pool for 1 hour. It's probably pretty close.
Right.
These numbers have been around for a while, so they might even be a little low. But
well, that's where I'm going. So we got a $20,000 to $30,000 actual
cost.
Fee schedule,
right,
and we're really recouping
25%
of that.
Right.
That should probably be in the verbal discussion with them.
Yeah, at some point, yeah. I'm sure if they start throwing it out again, I could say, hey, you know,
realistically. Tell them that some board members are concerned about it. Gotcha. Yeah, you're not trying to ruin the situation.
Right.
How much does a family pay for registration?
I think they're paying like $370.
Per person?
Per person, yeah.
Yeah, I'd probably triple.
It's almost 400.
Just written.
Yeah, I couldn't afford it.
So again, it's one of those, they can't have the team without us, we can't have the team without them, it's a community partnership. You know, I've seen it a lot of different ways. I've worked with organizations where the swim team was ours, and I've worked with organizations where the swim team wasn't ours.
You know, my personal view is this is not a town swim team. We're facilitating, mm-hmm, and they have Discovery Bay. We're broader, that's fine, have the name. Mm-hmm. But this is I view it as a private entity.
Mm-hmm.
We're certainly being more than helpful and trying to be that way, but knowing that we've got so many dollars coming out of landscape and lighting number 8 that we're not able to do a lot of other things around the area just to keep this thing afloat is kind of
Yeah, when you start running the numbers, it starts looking kind of interesting. But again, just because of
this is
meetings that we've had with them,
this is a start. I think we have to do this.
Mm-hmm.
and we can look at it again next year and tweak it a little bit, give them enough advance notice of something. Something's got to change a little bit to get them to the point where they're on their own.
Let's bring this back to the committee early. I would say right after the end of the swim season, so that we can start deciding what we want to do and have them and engage in those discussions about what can be done.
This will be this year's program, but I agree, right after that we'll have to discuss that.
We don't want to do it just before the season, because then everything's...
And all it was intended to do was capitalize what's been done the last 4 years per the handshake deal 5 years ago. So
the other question I had is on the pool itself. I haven't heard. I know we have a leak underneath.
Yes.
Something, but we haven't changed that yet. We haven't corrected it.
Okay, where we are on that, Bob, is Brian. I asked Brian several months ago to get a complete estimate for making the pool completely right. Bring the guy out. So he brought the guy out here, and he made numerous... couldn't get the guy to respond back to him for several months, and never did respond back. So last week, Brian met with a new guy, and it's very hard to get people to come out here. They don't want anything to do with it. But he managed to find some company to come out here, and he met with them and took them all around the pool. I think it was a couple Thursdays ago. Mm-hmm. And we're waiting for that bid to come back. So this has been months and months and months of fingernail pulling.
Well, we're looking at the water's going somewhere underneath the ground out there.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Somewhere.
All of a sudden we have a sea
level. 4 feet above sea level right now, so just come back into the delta.
Hopefully it's going to our aquifer. But it needs to be taken care of. We're on it. But getting these tradesmen, they're having same issues with the roof. Roofs over at the wells, and trying to get bibs and that completed. And that has been months and months and months and months and months and months. I mean, cracking the whip and not them getting any responses. So we're
an island unto ourselves.
Well, a lot of it is the prevailing wage issues, and that we're out here in the outskirts. And
I gave Brian a roofer company that's prevailing wage based in Patterson. They'll come out and give you a bid.
I think he just called him and met with him maybe yesterday. Or not on the roof.
King's Roofing.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I know Virgil's meeting with somebody.
All right, I think this MOU is really well needed, and I think this covers a lot of things of what we want to do. And I definitely concur with Director Peace and Manager Davies that we should move forward on this and make this, and we can review it 6 months when the season's over and see how we can touch it up or make it more to our present needs. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
All right, you're welcome. Thank you.
Okay, so once you finalize with the river otters, then we'll bring it back to the board so we can.
Okay.
Item 3, Community Center 2018 Town Public Calendar Draft Review.
Turn this over to Matt.
Back to me. All right. So, if you recall, usually around February of each year, the Recreation Department presents you with a town public calendar of all the different events, whether it's an outside group or the town. Since we're now meeting every other month and we won't meet again until February, I wanted to at least give you a heads up of the draft as it's coming together for 2018. I'm hoping to get this done maybe closer to the end of January this time. So my thought was to at least give you a chance to see the draft since we won't meet again in this committee until after that. But it looks like we've got about 22 different events that right now are scheduled to come out starting in March. Most are the usual ones, Easter egg hunt. We've got, that's a usual one. The Friday night movie in the park is a traditional one. The car show is a traditional one. The holiday parade is a traditional one. And then, of course, the new ones that came on as of last year, the food truck roundup of the chamber, Summer Jam is in there now. We have, which is still being discussed, a 20th anniversary event for the town. And let's see, what else? I think that's it. So there might be one or two more items coming that will get added on to it. But as you can see, in terms of this site being the place where the community gathers all the time, you can see we've got quite a few events going on pretty much every month. So March, April, May, June, July, August, September, and then December. So it's kind of what we're looking at for, and of course some of them fees are charged, some of them it's a town event, but hopefully we're working with the Lions, we're collecting some significant money on that. But otherwise a pretty full schedule for 2018. So any questions?
No. I took a look at it and I agreed the how you outline which ones should pay fees and which ones should be fees waived.
Mm-hmm.
Looks like we're utilizing the community center on a monthly basis.
I think so. At least for the big events, it seems to be working out pretty well.
We're going
to
have our first event out here in the springtime in April. And that'll help benefit maybe future dog park needs as well as bring some awareness to the community.
The dog event, meaning you're going to have a little parade or something?
Dog show, parade, and then there'll be some vaccinations. And the county will be there with the, not a veterinary clinic, but they have a spayed and neutering type of a mobile lab that they can send around. They're going to be a part of it as well. We had done some signage in the parks in the past on our dog regulations, and we've asked this group's asked that the county work with the town to have them present, come out from our community center for licensing. And it'll be a new event and mm-hmm. get some more people involved.
Nope, we got that. And then after that, we've got the inaugural doubles tennis tournament out here. That's a group that's interested in trying to raise some funds for court improvements as well. So we've been a couple weeks.
And that's not part of the normal Discovery Bay tennis group. We've kind of been in the background working with Joy Benson, who sits on the fire board and all that. She's one of the fellow tennis players here. And they've just decided to do it to help us raise money.
Wow.
It's truly, this is one of the selfless things that I've seen. Very good. Okay.
So, anyway.
That was just an informational item.
All right. Thank you.
All right. We're on to item 4 regarding a community center outdoor lighting in front of the building.
Right.
Update, please.
Well, when we all went to the last board meeting, I don't think there was one of us that didn't say, wow, we need a CNI dog and a cane to get through the parking lot. It was that poor of lighting, yet the lights were on. So I addressed this with Brian, our lighting and landscape guy, and part of the issue that's out there is all these lights are on low voltage lights, and you either get that bright light right in your eye if you use a very clear light bulb canister, I guess you would call it, and we have the frosted ones over there, and according to him, there's not much he can do with it. So, in order to improve the lighting, he's unfortunately not here, he's on vacation. So I'm just giving you just an overview. His indication to me is for us to put proper lighting out there and do it on a solar basis like what we have in Cornell Park, which would be a very effective way to do it, not cost us a fortune in electricity, is about $8,000 and some change per light. And then you got to put them in high enough to where if a car comes up, it's going to hit a cement base and not the light itself. So that's probably some added cost. And he's talking, I think he said 12 to 16 lights.
Yeah, he said something like
that. At $8,000 a light.
That's like a $100,000.
Oh, yeah, well, like $120,000 just to get the right lighting out here. And
I think we could just get two and maybe one at each entrance.
We may have to get one of those portable light things. I don't know. But so this is up for further ideas, for further exploration, and then we'll kind of bring back some options. In the meantime, The lights, we'll have sunlight till 9 p.m. by the time this gets addressed.
Yeah.
Anyway, won't be an issue then, but...
I have a friend of mine, actually a partner, who runs an electrical company, and he does parking lot stuff all the time. You know, like hotels and stuff, he's on their maintenance, he's one of their service guys at a bunch of hotels. He goes out and changes them and does this and that. I could have him come out here, probably at no charge, and have him just look around and say, what do you recommend, and kind of give us.
Yeah, if he can option. Do it for no charge, we can do that, because right. it's just a gift or a donation.
Right.
And see if he has an opinion in which right. direction he thinks we should go.
Yeah.
Otherwise, you know, we originally thought we need a lighting engineer to make sure it's done properly.
Yeah. I'll talk to him. We'll probably, at this point, can't get it done until January.
We can't anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'll bring a flashlight.
Yeah.
Is going to be
you know, that
thing.
Would be great just to figure out what's going on out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, just, for ideas. I mean, you can't submit a bid.
No,
you can't do any of that stuff.
It's all verbal.
Because of all DIR stuff.
The PG&E funds did have $10,000 allocated for some work.
Some work.
However far that goes or doesn't go.
One light. If we do it that way. Now, maybe are you robbing Peter to pay Paul if you turn around and say, well, the electrical lights are cheaper for the installation, but then in the long run, what's that cost you over time? So, I mean, it takes some analysis.
We did the solar lights at Cornell. That was kind of a big deal to retrofit. I don't know, you said the cost of it. I didn't think it was that expensive, but maybe it was.
Yeah. According to Brian, they are.
They know they were nice, though.
Yeah.
But the plus side, too, is depending on what happens here, if you go solar, then you can move them. You're not moving electrical to go with it.
So. Right. So if we change our footprint here, the cost to move those things is going to be minimal.
Just
relocate them.
So to the best of our current knowledge, all the lighting out here is low voltage.
To the best of my knowledge, yes.
Yeah. 110
volt light out there, other than what's on the building itself.
Other than doing that, I couldn't tell you.
I can't tell you. That's my information. I don't know if the little lights that flare up on the flag are electrical or not. But according to Brian, those are all
low voltage. All right. I'll task myself with trying to get some answers.
Yeah, no, that would be great.
But the secondary part of that is that this footprint could change a little
bit
if we move the town building over here or any of that kind of stuff. All right, that concludes.
Perfect, thanks for that. Any future discussions or agenda items we should have?
I can't think of any right now.
I can't think of any.
All right.
I'm sure someone's creeped up.
All right, this time we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you very much.
Thank you.